Good afternoon. I want to welcome you to the first meeting we're having. We're having an informational organizational meeting today. We're going to do a few things first. I'm very excited to be chair of this committee. It just can't be more important to the future of Oregon that we look and talk about bills this session and things that we can do here at the legislature to address the issues that are undermining our economy here in Oregon. I made a list last night of questions, just kind of briefing myself, getting ready for today. We need family wage jobs. We need to stimulate our economy. We need to attract tourism and promote tourism. Economic recovery for Oregon businesses. How can we streamline processes? We hear about this all the time. How do we do that? You know, we have layers and layers and layers in this state, and a lot of that's public policy. So I think these are some of the issues we're going to address. How do we help our natural resource-based economy, which is important to many of us? How do we attract new business and keep our current businesses? These are all things we've heard all during the interim and during the last session, and actually, because we're in a national recession, you know, I'm tired of Oregon being the last in everything. So I think it's time we you know, all work together and maybe put Oregon first in a few things, and that's kind of where I want to go with it. So what I'd like to do is introduce our committee. I'm very pleased to have this committee. The members on here I've just been so impressed with, and I worked with Representative Marsh and Representative Pass last session and through five special sessions. We won't count those, but I'm just so impressed with the caliber of people on this committee. So I look forward to being productive, and believe me, your chair will be open ears, and you have great ideas. I want to hear about them. Feel free to call me and contact me. So what I want to do is take a few minutes and introduce the members, and then I'll introduce the staff. And as I introduce each member, maybe you want to tell us a little bit about yourself and what you think is important and why you maybe want to be on this committee. So why don't I start with Representative Richardson down at this end.
Okay, thank you. I'm Dennis Richardson. I represent District 4, which is basically a rural district from the Central Point, northwestern Medford area across the Rogue Valley to the edge of Grants Pass, and it picks up small communities, Central Point being the largest, and Gold Hill and Rogue River and Applegate and Williams and Murphy, and places that most people have never heard about, Merlin, Cottage Grove. And I have within my district a lot of just good-hearted citizens who want to be able to live their lives and earn enough money to provide for their families and take care of their children. They care about the same things that we care about, and I'm delighted to be here to represent them. I have a small law firm in Central Point. I've been there since 1979. I'm very concerned about promoting Oregon products and promoting internationally Oregon's reputation as being an environmentally friendly and environmentally knowledgeable area. We have techniques, technology, services, engineers, companies that are good at water purification and waste management clarification, and I would like very much to see that reputation of Oregon help in economic development around the world.
Thank you, Representative Marsh.
Thank you, Madam Chair. It's a pleasure to be on the committee. I'm from District 46, which is in the center part of Portland. Its neighborhoods are Laurelhurst Center, Mount Tabor, Montevilla, South Tabor, Foster Powell, part of Lentz, part of Scott Arleta, and points to the south there. However, I've lived in western Washington County in a rural area there and Deschutes County. And I grew up on a ranch in Northern California, so I have an affinity for rural as well as urban background and interests. I will draw the attention to the chair that we are number one in unemployment, and we're number one in housing unaffordability and hunger. So unfortunately, these are not things we want to remain number one in. And so anything that we can do to stimulate the economy, with Portland being the number one wheat exporter in the nation in terms of wheat, that what's good for rural Oregon is also probably good for Portland. And that's something I tell my constituents, and want to let that rural Oregon know that we recognize in Portland that there is a connection between so what some people sometimes call the two Oregons. We're looking forward to working together with the committee to come up with some very good sustainable development and sustainable economic development opportunities that will carry us on into throughout this century.
Great. Thank you. One of my vice chairs, Representative Vicki Berger.
Madam Chair, thank you. I'm very pleased to be here. This is my first term in the Oregon House. I represent District 20, which is the Polk County parts of Salem and Monmouth, the communities of Monmouth and Independence, and parts of Marion County near the river on the south side. I mention this specifically because perhaps a lot of folks in this room are from the Salem area and know what I'm talking about. As a recently coming off of a campaign, I sincerely said over and over again, economic development issues are critical to this state and a high priority of mine, and therefore I am thrilled to be serving on this committee, and I'm ready to roll up my sleeves to get to work to get Oregon back working again. And while my colleagues have mentioned some of our firsts that are not so positive, we also have lots of positives in this state that we are also first at, and we need to build on those to go forward into a better future than the recent past, and that is my goal.
Thank you. Thank you. My other vice chair, Representative Mary Gallegos.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm excited to be here. I'm Mary Gallegos. I'm from House District 29, which is the heart of Washington County, Forest Grove, Cornelius, and Hillsborough. It's actually a district that I grew up in, and maybe the heart of the technology boom that hit Oregon, and I've been fortunate enough to grow up there having seen it, seen how it changed the county, the city, the schools, the effect of growth, and continue to live there, and I'm excited to be able to serve the folks there. Had the opportunity to be able to work in the high-tech industry, 16 and a half years at Intel. I left there 18 months ago, and 20 years in the high-tech industry that's centered there in that district. Had the opportunity to work with great people there, great people who are concerned about the economy, great people who are actively involved in trying to turn it around, and I just think that this is one of the best places for me to serve the folks in my community, and that's in the economic development realm. And so I look forward to working here on this committee with everybody. It's a great team of folks that are looking out for the folks in Oregon.
Thank you. Representative Katz?
Madam Chair, thank you. It's an honor to be here on this committee. I represent Beaverton in southwest Portland. I, too, have a lot of technology companies and a lot of technology employees in my district. But you know what? A lot of people would be surprised if I told you that in Beaverton, really in the heart of Beaverton, we have three pretty good-sized timber operations. We have a Weyerhaeuser plant, a Georgia-Pacific distribution facility, and a Boise Cascade facility. And those three plants employ more than 1,000 people. So it's important to me not just to continue building on this knowledge economy that we've been working on, but to make sure Oregon rises in all of its industries.
Great. Welcome. Representative Dave Hunt.
Thank you. Pleasure to be on this committee as well. Appreciate the opportunity to work with you and with my colleagues. I represent Clackamas County, kind of rounding out another part of the state. Unfortunately, I have many constituents who work in others of your district because we don't have nearly the number of businesses based in Clackamas County that we need to. And so as I look at economic development, I think that's certainly a key priority for me and for my county, is having really a balance of jobs near where people actually live. And I think that helps address our transportation challenges and our environmental challenges and others. And that's not just in the metro area. I think that's statewide. And so when I look at trade and economic development, I really see an opportunity for us to unite around a set of issues that are not just going to play off different parts of our state against each other, but really can be good for the whole state. I thought it was curious in this morning's Oregonian to see the 2002 Oregon Population Survey that talked about Oregonians' view of their government, and one of the areas where they now view their government, us, the least well, is in terms of whether or not government services are good or very good at creating jobs. We fell from 78% down to 49%. So I just think we have some tremendous opportunities. I think the governor and the speaker and the leadership in the Senate have just set a real course of this as a priority, and I'm just excited to be able to participate in that. I think we've got some real opportunities, whether it's in regulatory reform or in balanced natural resource policy or in infrastructure development. And I think the trade component is the best, one of the best opportunities for us. Representative Richardson just returned from China, and I think if you look at our opportunities in the world, they are just tremendous. That's how we're going to solve so much of our problem, is recognizing that we are part of a global economy, and we're not just in it alone, but we have some opportunities not only to ship our goods around the world and to have the kind of transportation infrastructure that is on roads and bridges, which we always think of naturally, but also river and air and rail, that we really have the opportunity to connect ourselves to the world and showcase Oregon products, which are poised and ready to go, whether they're high-tech or more traditional Oregon economy.
Great. Thank you. I'm glad this is all on tape because we all get along so well. Thank you so much for all the introductions. I'm going to open an organizational meeting for the purpose of adoption of our committee rules. I'm hoping that everyone's had a chance to go over them or been in other committees.
I would move adoption of the rules.
All right. Representative Mark moves that we adopt the committee rules. Is there any discussion? Is there any objection? So moved. All right. I open an informational hearing for the purpose of providing overview information to the Committee on Issues Related to Trade and Economy. It is an honor to be joined today by our House Speaker, Karen Minnis. Representative Karen Minnis, would you like to come forward? And I know you need no introduction, but for the record.
For the record, my name is Karen Minnis, House District 49. They changed the numbers on me, so we're still getting used to that. I'm very excited today about this committee. And the members that are on this committee, economic development was a passion for each of you. And it's clear from your comments that you all understand the need for this, the function of this committee, and that's to expand trade in Oregon, to make it a business-friendly state, to provide jobs, family wage jobs, that can then provide the resources that we need to help those that are in need, and to fund the programs that are so important to Oregonians. I'm excited that you're here. This committee has been hasn't functioned for a few sessions, and I thought it was timely that we put it back into motion, and we're going to be looking to you to develop ideas, whether that be streamlining, whether that be identifying incentives for business to locate here, whether that be land use issues, identify them, things that we can do for government to get out of the way, for businesses to come here to expand where they are, to provide a living wage. You're right, Representative March. Oregon has the highest unemployment. We are in dire need of reexamining how we conduct our business in the state and to address the needs. And I want to make sure that when we give incentives in Oregon, that Oregonians derive the benefit from that. So I would charge you to think outside the box, to look at all the alternatives. And it's not just a statewide or nationwide, but worldwide. And there is interest, as I've been contacted by people from China, people from Taiwan, in doing business in Oregon and expanding business in Oregon. So your charge will be to look at all the options and bring those forward, bring recommendations forward to the Assembly as a whole, and see what we can do to incentivize folks to be here, to remain here, and to provide jobs. I'm excited. Each and every member of this committee is talented, and they bring a lot of tools with them to address the issue. So I would encourage you to work closely together. It sounds like things are off on a good start. You're right, the governor the Senate leadership and the leadership in the House are all working closely together because we see the need and we want to address the need and move forward. So I congratulate you, and we're going to be looking for good things from this committee. And Patty, you'll do a good job. We're excited and looking for Oregon to benefit from your efforts. Well, thanks for having me here today.
Well, thank you. I just want to thank you for taking the time to come down here and join us. I assume there weren't any questions. We're now honored to have Representative Greg Smith, if he'd like to come forward. Representative Smith chaired the Jobs and Economy Task Force during the interim.
Would it be okay if Mr. Stembridge joined us?
Of course.
Thank you.
Yeah. Mr. Stembridge was our very able committee administrator during that interim, and I know you took it over from Representative Minnis, so maybe he can fill in the gaps and for the record, state your name and go ahead.
Thank you, Madam Chair. For the record, I'm Representative Greg Smith representing District 57, which I'm proud to say represents Union, Wallowa, Moro, and the best parts of Umatilla County. During the interim, I had the opportunity to serve as chair of the House Special Task Force on Jobs and the Economy, a committee that was created by Speaker Mark Simmons because he saw the need to look at new and innovative ways to try and stimulate our economy when Oregon was beginning to enter the recessionary period that we're now in. Initially, he appointed Speaker Minnis, Majority Leader Minnis at the time, as chair, and as Majority Leader Minnis's responsibilities grew larger and larger, she went to the Speaker and asked if I'd continue with the task, and I was honored to have her do so. On the committee served Representative Alan Brown, Representative Tom Butler, Representative Betsy Johnson, Representative Al King, Representative Randy Leonard, Representative Kathy Lowe, Madam Chairman, Representative Tootie Smith, Representative Bruce Starr, and Representative Verger. And so you can see that the committee was made up in a bipartisan manner from all parts of the state, and that was the intent of the Speaker when he created this. Multiple meetings were held. They were held throughout the state. We held a meeting in Boardman. We held a meeting, several meetings here at the Capitol. We held meetings at the Oregon Health Sciences University in Multnomah County. And there seemed to be several overlying themes, and if it would be all right, I'd like to just share those with you very quickly. The one thing that became apparent to the committee was that in order for economic development to succeed, we need to be open to new and innovative ideas. Economic development is as much an art as it is a science. And so as you progress forward, I hope you'll take what we learned in our committee, that be open and look for those new ways to approach developing Oregon in a responsible way. Our committee learned that economic development that does not maintain a balance for all Oregonians will not work. So we encourage you to be prudent of that, to remember that business and labor must work together, that rural and urban must work together, that our natural resource partners must work with our environmental partners, and it's that by working together that we can move the state of Oregon forward. During our work on the last meeting, we were able to bring forward six House bills that in a moment I'd like to share with you what they are. The committee had a difficult time in that our charge was to look at ways we could help stimulate the economy without spending money. And I must tell you, when you're trying to develop, it's very difficult to do so without financial resources. But we were able to find several ideas that we thought had merit, ideas that we thought we should be bringing forward to you for you to have further discussion on and for you folks to weigh them and to decide their fate. If so, if it'd be okay, Madam Chair, I'd like to present those to you. The first one is House Bill 2022, and what that bill does is it eliminates the requirement that local governments get approval of loan applications for the Oregon Business Development Fund. If it's okay, I'll read through these, and then if we need questions relating, Mr. Stembridge perhaps could help us. The next one was House Bill 2100 relating to land use planning for high technology industry. And what that would do is require local governments to adopt a 20-year forecast of land and public facility needs for high tech industry. That became a very apparent need as we were meeting with the folks here down at the Capitol and also at the Oregon Health Sciences University during that meeting. House Bill 2295, this was a special bill relating to cider, in that right now in the winery business, cider is not included as part of the beer and wine legislation. And so several businesses throughout the state perhaps could have been adversely impacted by this. This was brought to the committee's attention, and the committee thought it was worthwhile to bring to you. House Bill 2296 relating to enterprise zones authorizes the Director of Economic and Community Development to create up to 5 additional enterprise zones. Again, this was an issue that was raised by both urban and rural legislators. House Bill 2297 relating to the Legislative Committee on Trade and Economic Development. And what this did was reduce the membership obligations and powers of the Legislative Committee on Trade and Economic Development and remodified that committee. And in a moment, perhaps Mr. Stembridge could expand upon that. And then the final bill that has yet to been to be assigned is House Bill 2298 relating to taxation that would modify requirements business firms need to meet in order to qualify for small city business development income tax exemptions. And again, perhaps Mr. Stembridge could expand on that. Several other concepts were advanced during the special sessions, and the action has been taken on these, but I'll share those with you just really quick. One was increasing bonding authority, and the other was streamlining certain regulations. And again, I would turn to Mr. Stembridge for additional assistance with that. Madam Chair, the work of the Special House Force Task Force, excuse me, on jobs and the economy complements the work that you're about to do. You have a very difficult time ahead of you, but I have to tell you, you're going to do a great job. As a member of the Ways and Means Subcommittee on Economic Development, if there's anything I can do to provide you with assistance, please feel free to call upon me. And with that, I would say thank you.
Thank you. Does anybody have any questions for Representative Smith?
Well,
wait until Jim's done? Okay.
I have one. As you were conducting your task force, did you coordinate at all with the Task Force on Economic Development that Senator Wyden and Senator Smith were kind of conducting throughout the regions all over the state?
Madam Chair, Representative Richardson, one of the regrets that we had on our committee was that there wasn't greater coordination, not for lack of trying, but for lack of trying to bring multiple entities and folks together. And that goes back to one of the first points that I raised, and that is economic development must work for everyone. And so I would implore this committee to make sure that you are inclusive and try and bring everyone to the table, because, boy, that's really how you get things done.
Right.
Thank you. Jim, do you want
to
add?
Madam Chair, Jim Stembridge served as committee staff with the task force, and I'm continuing with the committee staff here during the session, so I'd be available to work with your committee administrator on any of these. I note that 4 of the bills that were introduced by the task force have been assigned to your committee, so probably we can talk with the committee administrator yourself about those in more detail later. I wanted to clarify a little bit on House Bill 2100. Is one that provides additional, it ultimately would provide for additional land for industrial use in areas where that land is in short supply. So as the task force did its work during 2002, we're certainly aware of other planning efforts, including those of OCED and the Oregon Business Council,
and, you know, the Senate committee that worked early in the year. This was an item that has been identified by many of the groups that are planning, that have been doing economic development planning, and so this was the task force effort to address the problem. That's a bill that's over in Environment and Land Use Committee right now. And then the other bill that has not been assigned yet is House Bill 2298, which during the 2001 session you passed a bill that did give income tax exemptions to small businesses under certain circumstances, and this is an effort to clarify and perhaps make more businesses eligible for that tax. And I don't know where that bill is going just yet. There were two other bills that the task force endorsed, but the were not available for pre-session filing. One had to do with increasing the effectiveness of agreements that local governments and economic development efforts have on the local level. And then another one had to do with tracking the incentives that are assembled for particular business recruitment. And so you might be looking for those later on.
Great, thank you for the update. Any other questions here before they... Representative March?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative Smith, did you find there were any special tools that were more effective in, a rural area than an urban area or mines?
Madam Chair, Representative March, what we found as a committee was that the Oregon Economic and Community Development Department has actually been a very good resource for communities who know how to work with the department. And so I think some of the tools are there in place, but you have to know how to use the tool. And where I'm leading with that is capacity. And capacity building of local communities to know how to access the programs, how to utilize the programs, how to advance the programs was a challenge. Quite often, as you folks know, city councils change, county commissions change, planning commissions change, economic development specialists change, and there seemed to be at least a notion that we needed to develop capacity so when those changes occur, projects that are in motion don't stall, but they continue to move forward. I think the department recognized that and is continuing to work on that.
If I may follow up on that also, I think the task force found that every community has positive aspects to it, as you all have pointed out about Oregon in general. But the same is true of every community. And what we found at Oregon Health Sciences University in the Portland area and also in the Boardman area, and what you find in every area of the state, is that there are resources there if people take the time and energy to identify those and really build on those. That's the key. So I don't think there's any one thing that you can say is good for rural areas or for urban areas. It's a very local thing that has to do with all of the ingredients that go into a successful economy, including the people and the resources and the money and other aspects that provide a successful community and a successful economy.
Thank you. Any other questions?
Madam?
Thank you. Yes?
Just one last quick comment. I must share with you and the rest of you members that Mr. Stembridge and Ms. Nielsen were just fabulous to our committee, and they're excellent resources. And in addition to your committee administrator, I hope you will know that you can tap them because they're pretty darn good. So, thank you.
Thank you both very much. I look forward to calling on both of you and your expertise in this area as I understand the important issues.
Thank you.
Before I go any further, I did make a mistake. I did not introduce Committee Administrator Kim Medford and my assistant Linda Gatto, who I'm very grateful to have and look forward to working with you. And thank you for being here. I know we're going to be calling on you a lot. This time I'd like to call Marty Brantley, the Director of the Oregon Economic and Consumer Development Department. Mr. Brantley, welcome.
Thank you
for taking the time to come visit with us.
Well, thank you. Thank you for inviting me.
And I understand you will be back next week to give us more in-depth.
We'll give you all the information you need, we
thank
hope.
Thank you. Well, welcome.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you for inviting me very much. I appreciate it. My name is Marty Brantley, and I am the designee for the new Economic and Community Development Department. I have been in the job officially now, I think, if it is official, for about 2 days, but have really been kind of working off the clock for probably about 30 days or so, trying to get a feel for the department and a feel for where we need to go and what we are. If I could, I'll take just a couple of minutes to explain a little bit about my background for the committee and then introduce some other people who will be talking with you over the next few weeks in more in-depth about some of the things that we have going on and some of the questions that you might have as we go along, too. Obviously, at any time, I'd try to stop and answer any questions you have, too. My background is I've been an Oregonian for 27 years. I worked in the television business for 35 years, 25 of which were in Portland. So I'm most knowledgeable, as well as some of the people both on this committee as well as in the legislature, the television and advertising business. We ran a successful station and were involved in the community in a number of different ways. My own personal background involvement in the community includes 6 years on the Federal Reserve Board, the District of Portland, but also had contacts in San Francisco, was president of the Chamber of Commerce and a group called the Association of Portland Progress in downtown Portland, too, as well as being on a number of other nonprofit boards, including the aquarium in Newport and some of the other areas that are outside of the Portland area. So that's a little bit of my background. I would like to introduce in the audience also some of the people. Ron Fox, manager of business and industry team, who spent over 20 years with Pacific Corps. Ron's back here. Art James is business development manager, and he coordinates the business siting aspects of things. Doris Pinwell is a legislative liaison, and many of you know Doris pretty well. And these people will be back also for future conversations with you, not just in the next few weeks, but on an ongoing basis with you. So I encourage you to use them as resources. I thought a little bit, many of you are familiar, because of your interest in the department, of who we are and what we are doing. And certainly your comments earlier indicate that the problems of the state are well identified. So it seems to me that what we need to do is roll up our sleeves then and try to find solutions to the problems that are well known. I look at my job, and the job of the department then is to lose, and that is to lose the mantle of number one unemployment in the country, to lose the mantle of number one poverty in the country, to lose the mantle of job creation, of lack of job creation, and to try to turn things around in a small way that we can do with the cooperation of you all and the other departments and the leadership of the governor, too. As you all pointed out, we have an unemployment rate of about 7.1%, which none of us are happy with. And these figures are a little squishy, but if we look at an objective, and that objective is somewhere around 50,000 jobs, if we can create that over the next few years, that we will lower that unemployment rate from 7.1 down to 3.9. Now, many people at the Federal Reserve will consider that 3.9 is to be pretty full employment. And so our job is to identify how to do that and how to get the people back into Oregonians, back into the fabric of society. We clearly need different strategies with different businesses. We clearly need different regional strategies and different ways to accomplish this. So I thought maybe I could just take a couple of minutes and talk about those themes and then toss it over to you all to ask questions if that's acceptable. I think that one of the themes is to provide a business climate that is friendly, a friendly business and climate for the state itself. Sometimes we don't know where those jobs are going to come from, but if we create that environment that seems to welcome jobs and understands that jobs are an important part of that fabric, well, then businesses tend to find their way here. I think that we need to concentrate on jobs for Oregon families and to personally go out and try to court those businesses that are not only going to be new to Oregon, but also those businesses that want to expand. I sometimes think it's very difficult to catch those new businesses and grab them and put them and locate them in Oregon as a longer shot than those businesses that are here and want to expand. And so I think we have to intensify our efforts of those businesses that are already here. I think that we want to create what is also talked about as the industrial sites or industrial sites that are ready to go. Shovel ready is the terminology that people are using right now throughout the state, not just in one geographical area. And I think that there will be increased focus on creating those industrial sites in all areas of the state. I think we'd also like to market Oregon much more aggressively, and there are proposals in front of everybody that will do that. That's going to take some work, but it seems to me that Oregon is a unique place, and we are missing a boat, quite frankly, by not promoting the uniqueness that we have here. We are unique not only from a geographical point of view, but we are unique from a physiological or psychological point of view of who we are and what we are. To some degree, we're caught in a commodities market right now in many of our products, and that all plays to the lowest common denominator and the lowest rate. But if we can differentiate our product, well, then we are better for it. We can differentiate the state physically. We can differentiate our softwoods. If we can differentiate our agricultural products, if we can differentiate our wines, well, then people will sometimes pay a premium for that. And I think that that all ties in with the marketing of Oregon, and I should say also, the tourism, the globalism that people spoke about, and the need to tie in things such as Lufthansa arriving in the Portland area anyway and making sure that that works, because that's critically important for our future too. And again, I mentioned supporting all of Oregon, which just means that there are has to be individual solutions. One size doesn't fit all. So we need different sizes and different flavors of strategies in order to get there. And then, again, to continue to support the infrastructure, if you will. Jobs just don't happen because there are good places to be. We need the infrastructure, the roads, the sewers, the clean water, and all the other things that communities find valuable in order to support that infrastructure too. So a big challenge in all of those things. I think we've talked about it a lot. And I should say one other thing that I think that is extremely important to our department now too, and other than the job side, and that's the accountability side. In some ways, the department is a pass-through for some funds that come through and go out. And I think that if our name is going to be on it, well, then we have to have a better accountability of some of those funds that we can come back to you and say, this is how much you've allotted, this is the result of that, and this is a return on your investment. Some of those figures are hard to come by, and I'm not going to kid myself to say that it's easy to do, but we're going to try to do a little bit better job in some areas to be able to justify what you all, the responsibilities that you've given us. So I'll stop there, Madam Chair, and answer any questions that anybody might have.
Well, thank you, Mr. Mm-hmm. Encouraging words, to say the least.
Thank you.
Welcome.
Thank you.
We look forward to many opportunities to discuss these ideas with you. Do you have any questions, Representative Hass?
I'm sure. I just would say that I was in the television business, too, for many of the same years. If Portland had a television Hall of Fame, and it doesn't, but if it did, Marty Brantley would be one of the few inductees, the way he ran his TV station, for the way he involved himself in civic affairs, and I think most importantly for the way he treated his employees during
Thank
the
you.
Years. So I'm glad you're there.
Thank you very much. I have some dear friends that continue to be dear friends, and they're very valuable to me. Thank you.
Well, thank you. Representative Martin.
Well, thank you. And Mr. Brantley, I'm really glad to hear about the accountability. I would like to see you develop some good performance measures and bring those back as part of your budget, although we're not a budget office. But I'd like to see some performance measures and then hold yourself to those measures. It's not just good enough to know where the money is spent, but we want to know that it's spent effectively and efficiently.
Madam Chair and Representative March, I agree with that. what I'd like to do, and there's been all kinds of talk about zero-based budgeting and things like that, and you probably all have gone through that, but truly what we're going to try to do is invite some members of the public to be a part of that budgeting process, to making sure that the jobs that we're talking about are pointed to the jobs results that we're looking for. And then at the end of the day, through that whole process, to make sure that that accountability is there. There, I believe that I've looked at about five different audits over the last 6 months, and all of them seem to say that we need to go to program-based auditing, and I'm fully in agreement with that. So, it will take us a little bit of time probably to develop the performance measures and all. Some of them are squishier than others, but there might be a money issue there too in order to build up the audit committees in order to find that. I don't know that yet, but certainly that's the intent, to try to get there and give you that information.
Thank you.
Thank you. Any other questions? Well, you've certainly given us some challenges to think about today, and thank you for that.
Thanks, and I look forward to working with all of you. Thank you.
Thank you. Next, I'd like to call Mr. Bill Fashing, who is the Hood River County Economic Director. And if you notice, committee members, I have given you a copy of the article that appeared in the Hood River News that even Mr. Fashing hasn't seen. But from pink slip to pear bars, and it's about a company in Hood River that worked 8 years to get their USDA approval for their value-added product, and it's a pear bar. And it's called Gorge Delights, and it's just a great story. Went to the groundbreaking this summer, and it was great to see. And it was, they talked about 45 jobs in the Mid-Columbia over the next few years, and that's a lot of jobs in the Mid-Columbia. So it doesn't sound like a lot, but it's just an example of what we can do for our agriculture community. And I've invited Mr. Fashing here today to kind of get to know us all and share with us a few comments. So welcome.
Madam Chairman, thank you. Committee members, thank you for the opportunity to be here today. As was said, my name is Bill Fashing. I'm with Hood River County in a brand new position. Over the last several years, Hood River County has faced numerous challenges and economic distress. And last year, the commissioners voted to create a new position. And I've been on board about 3 months. And new to the state, so I'm trying to learn lots of things, and have had great assistance from the chairman in learning what's going on at the state level. I was asked to attend today and kind of talk about what's going on in Hood River County from an economic development perspective, and provide a brief overview of specifically the Hood River County situation. The county faces a situation where wages are lower than the statewide average, where unemployment is higher than the statewide average. So if Oregon is at the worst nationwide in unemployment, that makes Hood River County something that we're not real proud of and something we need to improve. Although we've seen some positive trends over the last few years with tourism enhancement and lots of recreational opportunities, we're not where we want to be at this point. We've had that influx of visitors. We have even had some job creation over the last several years, but that economic activity has brought about part-time and cyclical jobs, not true economic prosperity for the region. While the local economy, as I said, is creating jobs, the quality of those jobs is on the decline. What are the challenges that we're facing? Mr. Brantley mentioned, I think, several of them, if not all of them. The major one I was going to talk about today is ready-to-build industrial sites and commercial sites. We just recently finished a complete, and the report's about 4 inches thick, but a complete analysis of our industrial site availability in outside of the urban growth areas of Hood River City and of Cascade Locks. We have about 11 acres of industrial space that is able to house a non-resource-based business at this point in time. We're working with a prospect today that needs about 10 acres. And they can't go on the 9-acre lot that we have available. What we're looking at is one of the mill sites. We have three vacant mill sites in the county. And I think most of you are aware of what's happened to those mill operations over the last several years. But we're in a situation where we cannot provide sewer on those sites. We cannot really locate a high-tech business or any other business on those sites very easily, at least, without going through a long time frame of exceptions to land use laws. Those uses or those properties are traditionally industrial uses. They are zoned industrial, yet we can't extend sewers to those because of the land use laws. So we've got some challenges there that we've got to overcome. The other major industry, I've talked about the timber industry a little bit. The other major industry in the county is obviously farming, orchards of all kinds. We are working very actively in value-added agriculture. We're trying to get several things off the ground. A small delegation, probably about 15 of us, were in Portland 2 weeks ago at the Food Innovation Center, learning about what the resources available through that facility are. Even with those resources, we have some challenges, and again, many of those go back to the land use laws. If a farmer or orchardist wants to put up a processing facility on land they own to help do something value-added to their product, there are some fairly significant restrictions on what they can and can't do on farmland. So even when we're trying to enhance the farm community and value-added agriculture, our hands are tied in many cases on what we can and can't do to help those people to provide new economic opportunities for themselves. It's important for Hood River County and probably most of the other counties in the state to have increased flexibility to make our old unproductive mill sites economically viable. Hood River County is dealing, as I mentioned, with the out-of-state prospect that is looking at that 10-acre site. They're on a fast track. They've wanted to start construction by April of this year. The process to get the exceptions we need to allow sewer onto that site obviously is not going to allow an April start date. We're exploring, the state has been, all divisions of the state that we've worked with have been very willing to sit down and try to figure out a way to get through this scenario, but at this point we haven't found a solution per se to the problem. We'll continue to work that, but those types of constraints that we're facing as a community, and I'm sure many other communities are facing, are going to kill Oregon's efforts to bring new jobs into our communities and into the state. If we are to attract and retain investment, we must be prepared, and we must become business-friendly, as was mentioned before. And we can become business-friendly while maintaining our efforts to protect our natural resources. It isn't an either-or in my mind. So thank you for your attention. I'll be happy to answer questions if there are any.
Thank you, Mr. Fashion. I have one. You talk about the land use laws and at the state level. Does the National Scenic Act have any impact on this, too?
Madam Chairman, I'm still trying to learn, being new to the state, some of the specifics with the National Scenic Act. Yes, that is in the gorge. That's another layer that we need to deal with. There are challenges as a result of that. What exactly those are at this point, I can't necessarily go into detail on. But it's just one more level or layer of approval and process that we have to go through in order to make anything happen in the gorge.
Well, thank you. I understand that. And I thank you for taking the time to come down here and share that with us.
Well, I appreciate the opportunity.
Thank you. Well, Representative Richardson, would you like to join our next guest, Henry Lau, trade representative from Fujian Province? People's Republic of China, and I'll let you introduce him.
Madam Chair, members, I'd like to introduce to you today a friend of mine and a friend of Oregon. His name is Henry Liao. He is an American citizen who is a resident in Beijing. I had the opportunity in September of last year to head a trade delegation from Oregon to China, primarily focusing on our sister province of Fujian. And during that time, I was able to make Mr. Liao's acquaintance. He made arrangements for me to meet with top officials in several of the cities in Fujian province, the provincial leaders, and also some national leaders in Beijing, and in a community east of Beijing called Jingguandao. And during that time, I became aware of Mr. Liao's extensive contacts in China. He is an active member of the China-American Chamber of Commerce, and since he's fluent in Mandarin, lives in Beijing, and is married to a Chinese national, he has a tremendous cross-connection between Chinese leaders as well as business leaders in China. And so we've asked if he would come and explain a little bit from his perspective about what he sees as business opportunities for Oregon in China and China's investment opportunities in Oregon. So with that, I would introduce Mr. Henry Liao.
Thank you. Welcome.
Thank you very much, Dennis Richardson, Madam Chair, distinguished member of the committee. I'm honored and pleased to be able to come here to report, and before I start it, I would like to say something about Dennis. I've been living in the United States for 30 years, but this is my first trip to Oregon. So every moment I stay here is like enjoying like an enlightenment process, and I would like to thank you, Dennis, for inviting me here. Without him, I probably would end up in California, in Chicago, or New York to find someone to help me in China. So hopefully my trip will be productive, and I will provide some option or answer or solution for the community in searching for the answer. First of all, I would like to say there's a tremendous opportunity in China now. I think there are several first. I will bring it up to for your information and update. Of course, everybody knows Beijing is going to be the host city for Olympics 2008. Everybody know that. And Shanghai just recently on the bid to be a host city for year 2010. It's World Expo, and this is a 6-month event. So Shanghai has already started and planned to host like 200 countries. Exporium, they will build a exhibit center in Shanghai. This is very big too. And China just recently succeeded. The United States is most direct investment country in the world. And most of the time, the United States has been ranked number one for overseas, like a foreign investor country. But China has just succeeded the United States first time this year. So I think a major impact to China is they are recognized to be an international player now. And of course, they are a member of the WTO. I think WTO has made major impact on China because now they have image and reputation to keep. And also, they want to be a better member of WTO. So from time to time, it's happened so fast. Every month, every week, there's new things coming from Central Committee. For example, you probably never realize or expect China will allow international attorney, lawyer to set up an individual, I mean, like 100% owned by foreigner office in China. When they open it up, allow attorney or lawyer to set up their practice office in Beijing in 2 months. There are 1,500 lawyers registered in Beijing to provide services for all the foreign company. And you probably know there's somewhere like how many foreign company already established in China, ready to do the business in China. Of course, then there are also have a tough measure coming out legalized to protect their reputation on copyright, intellectual property. They have some task force to emphasize, to enforce the law, so to bring back their bad image and reputation. And it's the very first time, and this year, they allow foreigner invest 100% on infrastructure and construction company to be incorporated in China. Back then they require like a 51 owned by Chinese, 49 owned by foreigner. But this have a mandate now, then remove this barrier, because according to the WTO, now they allow foreign infrastructure and construction company to be 100% owned by foreigner and have a corporation in China to participate in all the construction, all the EP, or infrastructure, business. That's a mandate for coming 5 years. They're going to keep lowering the tax, duty, import, tariff, and also they're going to open up telecommunication, banking, financial, and they're also going to open up for foreign-owned insurance company to come to China. And also, the very first time this year, they legalized immigration services. Back then, many people are doing immigration services to provide for Chinese to come to overseas, especially they go to Canada, Australia, New Zealand, Singapore. But this is the very first time they issue permit and license and legalized for the people who can provide immigration services in Beijing throughout whole China. Now in one day, 150 company, that's some foreign owned, some local owned, has a license. 150 people. So that's a big demand. I will address that a little bit later. So I think there's another part of government trying to do in China. They also encourage the big company to set up, to go overseas, set up a branch office throughout the world. So hopefully they will think the United States is a good place for them to set up a branch office. Then after that, I think I will read several things, maybe regarding Olympic and also Beijing, or the opportunity for Oregon. For example, just recently in my the membership, I belong to American Chamber of Commerce in China. By the way, we have 1,500 American as a member there in Beijing, and we have a meeting. And Ambassador Clark Rent come to our meeting very often. And also Secretary of Agriculture States and Secretary of Commerce, they come to China very often. So Beijing municipal government will spend $5.6 billion on environmental protection project in preparation for the 2008 Olympic Games. The report say the city will direct the fund to project including sewage treatment, solid waste recycling, and air pollution prevention from year 2003 to year 2007. The Beijing city wants to attract additional funding for environment project from both domestic and foreign investors. The report say, citing a director with the Energy Saving and Environmental Protection Office of the Beijing Economic Committee. The municipal government will also offer tax cuts of exemption to both environmental protection enterprise and manufacturing. So this is one thing that's tell you Olympic. This is actually, I have a figure in total for the Olympic expenditure from China will be somewhere like $50 billion. So you can roughly estimate on EP they will spend one seventh of the total budget on one seventh for the Olympic money. And this is another piece information I would like to read here. As foreign direct investment in China exceed $52 billion in year 2002. foreign trade minister figure show as the country's entry into the World Trade Organization helped to lure a record amount of international capital. Actually, foreign direct investment lost 13% to $52.74 billion in year 2002. China began to dismantle barriers to foreign investors last year after joining the WTO in late 2001. Opening the door for greater inflows of international capital. A 5-year timetable for further removing barriers to foreign trade and investment is expected to assist China in continuing to lure international capital to support its economic growth. The Foreign Trade Ministry's statement say 34,000 new companies have been approved to invest in China during 2002. That takes the number of companies approved to invest in China since 1979 to 424,000. So that's an enormous increase in China. This one piece of information I read to you is regarding environmental. This is brand new. Environmental issues are obviously high on the Chinese government agenda this day. For the first time, key national construction projects will be put under environmental monitoring, according to the State Environmental Protection Administration. So the move marks a big step forward in environmental management. As a result, when the project was completed, ecological deterioration had become irreversible. This time, the system for monitoring will be built into the whole process of construction, which will fundamentally prevent damage to national reserves, wildlife, and habitats. Against the background of rapid economic growth in recent years, such pro-environmental measures are extremely valuable in achieving the goal of sustainable development. So this is emphasized to let you know China is spending a lot of money, effort, and they are looking for energy, they are looking for technology around the world to help them, to assist them.
Mr. Lau, would you like to have us have copies made for the committee of that?
This, sure. Okay, right. I would love to. Okay.
All right.
And there's since Oregon is a sister city of Fujian province, a sister a state of Fujian province, I was able to travel to Fujian quite often. And to be honest, my ancestors moved out from Fujian 400 years ago during Ming Dynasty to China, to Taiwan. So I never been back to China or Fujian before. But with the connection, Oregon and Fujian, I was able to make several trips to Fujian. And I was constantly requested and to provide information or what we can have to help to Fujian, and especially in EP project. And I will tell you what they're really looking for in Fujian right now. There's one solid waste treatment plant to be built. It's proposing this, and I was involved in the beginning. And secondly, they are looking for state-of-the-art electronic device to monitor, to pre-warn a system to help them to spot or monitor their major polluter in the river. They have 24 rivers and have to be EP-friendly device set up to monitor and to check on the major polluter. And they also have a waste water treatment plant proposed for 23 on every city and county to be built. And also Fujian was recently selected by Central Committee in China to be one of the 4 province. They want Fujian to focus and build a most ecological province as a model for the China. So they will be receiving a huge funding from Central Committee for the coming 20 years. I think this part, I think Oregon has advantage to get in this because Oregon is famous for agricultural, like seeding trees, landscaping project there, vegetation. I think this is, I will explore a little bit more to get more information for the people of what the company in Oregon to participate. And the other one I would like to mention is Fujian also is interested in importing our Oregon's fish, oyster, crab, or shrimp. And they also a group of people constantly request me provide information about Oregon if they want to come here for a joint venture. For example, during your able representative Richardson there, there's one of a big construction company request me and Dennis to find a local partner for them to joint venture. And this is a $5 billion U.S. dollars company. They're looking for company in the United States they want to joint venture. So this is also a very good opportunity for the company in Oregon. Of course, then the people would like to come to Oregon to establish the residencies since they have a problem to coming over to the United States and they have to go a lot of hardship to obtain visa. Now, the United States has an investment green card permanent residence program for each individual invest $500,000 or $1 million in the United States to officially incorporate corporation, they are allowed to obtain or apply a green card. I think I would like to request the Oregon to open the door and create an under opportunity for the people in China who want to come to United States to obtain the residence by investment. And this will help Oregon to in importing and exporting. For example, if the Chinese company have a office here, they will look into the possibility to buy more made in Oregon product back to China. And there's also a lot of requests from students. They want to come to Oregon to study. I think I will address that later or I will get more information. Right now, I get some piece of information. There's thousands of students who want to come to Oregon to study. And I think we have an education system here. We should be able to facilitate them and to get them to get their education here. Thank you very much for having me here, and I would like to answer some questions if you have one for me.
Thank you. And any questions from the committee? Not today. Thank you so much for spending the time with us.
All right. Thank you very much.
I was impressed by the fact that the 1,500 lawyers had gone to Beijing, and I was wondering if we could export some more.
Is that going to be a committee bill?
No. We have three law schools.
Oh, we do.
So we can certainly supply.
Well, I'll close the informational meeting. Is there anyone else here that wishes to provide comment on anything we've talked about or heard today?
Madam Chair, may I make a comment on a few of the remarks that Mr. Liao gave?
You certainly can.
In his remarks regarding students, he has explained to me that with the amount of trade that's taking place in China now, there's a large number of families that are becoming financially affluent that would like to have their students, their children study abroad and are willing to pay all of the expenses and all the costs for them to have the opportunity to study in America. And so if there was an opportunity for some of those students to come here, in some places the actual costs are really quite high, but that's not necessarily an issue. The issue is where are fine schools located for those students to study. Relating to the investment portion for retaining or for obtaining residency, there's a federal program that says that if you have between $500,000 or $1 million in cash that you're willing to invest in an American company or business or enterprise, then if that cash comes in and gets deposited, then you're considered for a residency arrangement so that you could travel freely or those kinds of things. And Mr. Liao has a number of businessmen who had mentioned to him that they would like very much to invest some of their cash, and he was talking with them in terms of $1 million each somewhere, and they were saying maybe they should look at New York or Chicago, and Mr. Leal and I have been discussing the fact that it really should be Portland or the West Coast, especially Oregon, because that would be much more convenient, and our climate and our economy and so forth, and the things that we hold dear are very similar to what they would hold dear, and that this would be a fine place for that type of investment to take place. There's two other points. One is the reason I made the trip over to China was to help promote Oregon with the purpose of obtaining jobs and commerce. When I arrived in Fujian, the attitude from the government officials there was basically that they had come to Oregon about 4 years ago and had signed accords to be a sister province with Oregon, but had not had much contact with Oregon since then. And so I found myself in a position where I was apologizing for that lack of courtesy and assuring the Fujian government that Oregon took seriously the sister province relationship and that we would like very much to further commerce and tourism and other relationships with them as a sister state. And two of the officials that I talked to had indicated that they would like to see Oregon get a priority position in providing the technology and the assistance in their EP, their environmental protection projects. And so since Oregon is known for having a sincere concern for the environment and maintaining a clean environment and a balance between natural resource utilization and maintaining a good environment, they would like to benefit from what we've learned in Oregon to help them make wise decisions and to satisfy their environmental protection needs.
Okay. Thank you very much. Anyone else? I didn't see anyone else want to come forward to comment on what we're going to do today. Who did? Yes.
Madam Chair, I forgot to mention about the audience update. I think you have time. If I may, I would program.
Why don't you just leave a copy with our committee administrator staff, and she'll she'll make sure that the committee sees it. Thank you very much. If there's no other business to come before this committee, what I want to tell you before we adjourn is that we've been assigned seven or eight bills, and we don't have any. They're quite lengthy in detail. They're, heavy hitter bills. They're going to take some time on public hearings and stuff. So I don't see anything on the agenda for Friday. So unless something changes and we post it by tomorrow at 1, we won't meet until Monday at 1, so that we have time to get things in order and get ready for our first bills that we're going to hear. So I want to again welcome you and tell you that I'm very pleased that you're here and that my door is open and that good ideas come from everyone. So I look forward to working with you. And with that, we are adjourned.